Hebrews chapter 12, and we're going to read from verse 5, or halfway through verse 5. If you have one of the church Bibles, you'll find that on page 1877 of the church Bibles. Page 1877, Hebrews chapter 12, and reading from halfway through verse 5. My son, do not make light of the Lord's discipline, and do not lose heart when he rebukes you, because the Lord disciplines those he loves, and he punishes everyone he accepts as a son. Endure hardship as discipline. God is treating you as sons. For what son is not disciplined by his father? If you're not disciplined, and everyone undergoes discipline, then you are illegitimate children and not true sons. Moreover, we have all had human fathers who disciplined us, and we respected them for it. How much more should we submit to the Father of our spirits and live? Our fathers disciplined us for a little while as they thought best, but God disciplines us for our good, that we may share in his holiness. No discipline seems pleasant at the time, but painful. Later on, however, it produces a harvest of righteousness and peace for those who have been trained by it. Therefore, strengthen your feeble arms and weak knees. Make level paths for your feet, so that the lame may not be disabled, but rather healed. We're going to end the reading of God's word there this morning. We start out into parenting with blissful ignorance of all that lies ahead of us. We've heard about sleepless nights, teething babies, temper tantrums, hormonal teenagers, and adult children who look like they will never get a job or move out of home. But we blame it all on the parenting, quite confident that things will be different for us. We will do everything that we can to be the perfect parent. Somewhere along the way, sooner or later, the realization sets in that we are not the perfect parent. That we will never be the perfect parent. The truth is that we will never be the perfect anything. We're not the perfect anything because the world in which we live has been spoiled by sin, and we ourselves have been spoiled by sin. There are more than this little child that can throw a temper tantrum when things are not going their way. You may not throw yourself down on the ground kicking and screaming, but you've learned as well how to let everybody else in the family know that you're not happy with the way that things are going. But we don't need to be disturbed by the fact that we are not the perfect parents, because we can know someone who is. God is the perfect parent. He is untouched by this sinful world. He himself is unspoiled by sin. He is holy. He is perfect. He is incapable of doing anything wrong, and this God can be our Father. In order for that to happen, God had to deal with the problem of our sin. And to do that, he sent his own Son, the Lord Jesus, to be our Savior, to rescue us from our sinfulness. His eternal Son would enter into human life and live a perfect life. Imagine no temper tantrums, no disrespect, only willing obedience to his earthly parents. You see, where we all failed, he succeeded. And yet he would die upon a cross. He would die because of our sinfulness and take the punishment for the sins that we deserved. And as a result of his death and resurrection, God the Father can accept us as his children if we put our trust in the Savior that he sent. You see, we may not be perfect children, but we can have a perfect parent. And now, as imperfect parents, we can learn from the one who is the perfect parent. You see, as imperfect parents, we often lack wisdom. We are faced with so many decisions. We are constantly reminded about what everybody else's parents do and have to choose whether we're going to go along with everybody else's parents or do something different. And sometimes those things are not clear cut. It's not always a question of right and wrong. It's a question of judgment and knowing what is best. And we come to points where we have to recognize that we often lack wisdom. We don't know what is best. We read here in verse 10, "Our fathers disciplined us for a little while as they thought best." We can be very quick to pass criticism on our parents, how they brought us up, what they did and didn't allow us to do. But they were doing what they thought was best. Another story about my mother. She tells a story from my childhood that I don't even remember myself. We had gone to the chemist to collect something, and we went into the newsagent's shop. I must have had some money, maybe given as a gift or something like that, but I had it myself, and while she was doing something in the shop, I went and I bought a cheap metal ring. I put it in my pocket, and on the way home, I produced it to my mum and gave it to her as a gift. Now, most other mothers would be overwhelmed by this gesture of kindness. Not my mother. All my mother could think of was the waste of money and the shopkeeper who took the money from this small child. I was dragged all the way back to the shop, and the shop owner was forced to return the money and take back the cheap metal ring. As we went back home again then, my mum met a friend. She started to describe to the friend all that had happened. The friend was horrified at how my mother had dealt with it. She thought that I was going to be scarred for life at what my mother had done. Here was an act of kindness from a child to his mother, who was then scolded and dragged back to the shop. You see, here were two people who had very different ideas about what was best to do in the situation. And our parents did what they thought was best without knowing the outcome of their actions. Thankfully, I don't think that particular incident left me with any emotional scars. But we too are faced with decisions regarding our children, and sometimes we simply don't know what the best thing to do is. We often lack wisdom, but God always knows what is best. Verse 12, "Our fathers disciplined us for a little while as they thought best, but God disciplines us for our good." God always knows what is good, what is best. This Father in heaven, this perfect parent, is not limited in wisdom. He's never left wondering what he should do. And he always disciplines us for our good. Now, it's important to understand that this good often involves difficulties. It doesn't mean a trouble-free life. In fact, this whole passage is in the context of people who were experiencing great difficulties in life. Yet they had a confidence that through those difficulties, God was training them for good. You see, underneath both our wise and foolish choices as parents, and behind our loving discipline and our selfish actions, God is still working for good in the lives of our children. God uses both good and bad circumstances in our lives to train us into the kind of people that he wants us to be. We may be imperfect parents who often lack wisdom, but we can introduce our children to the perfect parent who uses even our failings as parents for good in the lives of our children. What a burden that lifts off our shoulders. What a fear that removes. Parenting our children is not just down to us. Our perfect parent, our Father in heaven, is in this with us. And though we do what we think best, our perfect parent always knows what is best. And this God who always knows what is best offers us help when we lack wisdom. The Bible says, "If any of you lack wisdom, he should ask God, who gives generously to all without finding fault, and it will be given to him." You see, we can come before God, our Father, in prayer, pour out our concerns to him, tell him that we don't know what we should do in a particular situation, tell him that we need wisdom, and then we trust him with the outcome. even if afterwards we think that we could have or should have handled the situation differently. You see, above all else, we need to learn to listen to God's word. There will be lots of areas in our lives where we simply don't know what we should do. But there will be plenty of areas of our lives where we simply need to listen to God's word and be obedient to the calling that God has given to us as parents. The word of God encourages us as parents to bring up our children in the training and instruction of the Lord. We need to introduce them to him. We need to explain that his commands are not there to spoil our fun, but they are there for our good. Above all else, we need to explain why Jesus came to be their Savior and what it means to follow him. When we lack wisdom, we need to ask God for wisdom, listen to his word, and trust God with the outcome. As imperfect parents, our goals are often short-term. We simply want our children to behave, to be good, to be quiet, to not run around, to study, to turn down the TV, to tidy their rooms. Now, of course, in some of those areas, we are training our children for life. We're training them as well to be considerate of others. But sometimes, if we're honest, it is really more about our comfort. Their noise is wrecking my head. Their mess is getting on my nerves. I'm embarrassed by the way that they are behaving. You see, it can often be about me and what I want rather than what is good. Our goals are often short-term, but God is in it for the long haul. He's concerned about producing holiness in our children. And we need to be honest and admit that we often don't share God's goal. Sometimes what we think is best really means best for us. Look at verses 10 and 11. Our fathers disciplined us for a little while as they thought best, but God disciplines us for our good, that we may share in his holiness. No discipline seems pleasant at the time, but painful. Later on, however, it produces a harvest of righteousness and peace for those who have been trained by it. You see, our concern for the immediate sometimes means that we have little thought of the harvest that we will reap as a result. We can set unreasonable boundaries for a child, and though we get obedience, we may reap a harvest of resentment. And it's for that reason we need to be sure that we share God's goals. God's goal is to produce holiness in our children and in us. And when we have children, we can be exposed to just how unholy we really are. How many parents have found themselves arguing with their teenager only to realize that they are not behaving any differently from their teenager? Here are two people arguing over what they want without much thought, perhaps, at all for what God wants. You see, God not only uses us as a means of producing holiness in our children, he uses our children as a means of producing holiness in us. And as parents, we need to turn away from short-term goals that revolve around our comfort and instead look to God's goals that produce a harvest of righteousness, of holiness. That means that we mustn't be driven by goals that are not God's goals. We often want our children to excel at school because we want them to be top of the class. Now, of course, we'd never actually say that, but it can be important to us. And instead, we should want them to do as well as they can because we want them to put to good use the abilities that God has given to them. We often want our children to succeed in their career, to be financially secure, to get married and to have a family. They're all natural desires, but they are not necessarily God's goals. We should be praying that our children would learn to trust God rather than seek financial security. We should be praying that our children would not sacrifice serving God in order to advance their career. We should be praying that our children would so desire to walk in God's way that they would gladly remain single rather than marry someone who is not a believer in the Lord Jesus and a suitable partner for them. You see, our goals are not always God's goals. And as parents, we need to look to God's goals, to understand that God's big goal in the lives of both our children and ourselves is that we might be holy, that we might be set apart for Jesus, to love him and to serve him with all of our heart. As imperfect parents, we are often weak. We're often physically weak. For a number of years, when people asked me, "Are you tired?" my answer was, "I have been tired since the birth of our second child." It felt like it was a tiredness from which I would never awake. But we can often be emotionally weak. We get discouraged. We can think that our child is never going to walk, that they are never going to speak, that they're never going to eat properly or sleep properly. We can think that our children are the worst behaved of all children, the most disrespectful children, the most bad-mannered children. We get discouraged at the job we are doing as parents. And as they get older and make more and more choices for themselves, we can feel that we are to blame for their foolish choices, their mistakes, their failures. We can think that if we had done things differently, that none of this would have happened. We're often spiritually weak. We find it hard to trust God with our children. They don't get into the primary school that we wanted for them. They get the worst maths teacher in the secondary school. As they approach adulthood, we cannot let them make their own choices because we are fearful that their lives are going to be ruined by some foolish choice that they're going to make. But we so easily lose sight of the fact that we believe in a God who is in control of all of these things. We want to be in control. We want to determine the path of our children's lives. And we find it hard to trust God when things are not working out as we had hoped. We are often weak. But God offers encouragement to keep going. In this letter of the New Testament, there were Christians who were going through extremely difficult circumstances. They were weak. They felt like they could not go on. Listen to God's words to them in verse 12. "Strengthen your feeble arms and weak knees." God is the perfect parent who offers encouragement to keep going. Now, first of all, those words might sound harsh. Strengthen your feeble arms and weak knees, as though God doesn't appreciate what we are going through. But the truth is that God knows us better than we know ourselves. And God is telling us that we have the resources to keep going, that we can do it, that there is no need for despondency or the way that we feel. It's like the child who is sitting down to do homework, and the parent knows that they're perfectly capable of doing it, but the child simply wants to give up. It's too hard. And the parent has to come along and say, "Look, you can do this. Keep going." Or the child running the race at the school sports day, coming to the final bit of the race and getting tired, and the parent cheering them on from the side, "Come on, you can do this." You see, we are often very aware of our weaknesses as parents, but God offers us encouragement to keep going. We must learn to lean on God's strength. You see, it is God who has entrusted this little life into your care. Are there better parents in the world than us? Of course there are. We're not perfect parents, but God has chosen to entrust these children into your care. And God will give you the strength to fulfill the role that He has given to you. We must learn to lean on God's strength. Whether it's physical weakness, emotional weakness, spiritual weakness, we can call out to our Father in heaven for the strength that we need to fulfill the task that He has given to us. Joe, there are times when we do not share our burdens with our earthly parents. They have enough concerns of their own. They're reaching a stage in life where they shouldn't have to shoulder the burden of others. But this Father in heaven is well able to shoulder our burden with us. In fact, He calls us to bring our burdens to Him. We're told, cast all your anxiety on Him because He cares for you. This Father in heaven, this perfect parent, is more than able to share your burdens. We must learn to listen to His word, to look to His goals, and to lean on His strength. Let's pray together. Father, we thank You for the fact that You give us the strength that we need for all that You call us to be and to do. And Father, we want to pray this morning for those who are parents here, that they would have a confidence that You will give to them all of the resources that they need to fulfill the calling that You have given to them as parents. We recognize that we often feel weak. We often feel physically tired. We often feel emotionally discouraged. We often struggle spiritually to trust You with our children and instead want to be in control of their lives and of their decisions. But Father, help us to realize that behind our wise and foolish choices, behind our loving discipline and our selfish actions, there is at work a perfect parent who uses both the good and the bad in our lives to work to produce a harvest of righteousness in our children. Father, we pray that You would help us to realize those areas in which we need to change, that we would look to You for the strength that we need, that we would listen to Your word, and that we would look to Your goals, both in our own lives and in the lives of our children. We want to thank You again for Kayla and for Your gift of her to Luke and Helen. We thank You that You will continue to give to Luke and Helen all that they need to be the kind of parents You want them to be to Eli and Kayla. And we pray that You would help us then as a church to be able to encourage them with Your words, perhaps during times of difficulty, to come along to offer that encouragement, to keep going, to look to You, to listen to Your word, to look to You for strength, to look for the goals that You have for their children. And so, Father, we pray that You would help us to be faithful in encouraging them in that way. And we ask this not only for them, but for each of us here, that we would offer encouragement to each other to keep going in whatever difficulties in life we may face, confident that You are a God who gives strength for everything that You bring into our lives. And we ask this all in the name of our Lord Jesus. Amen. Amen.